A person's picture of the Thanksgiving holiday changes with time. There's something about childhood that sticks with us when we think about our holiday season. So there may have been a time in your life when it was at grandma's house and she made the turkey and she made the pie and nobody could cook like grandma. And you sat at the table and you stuffed yourself for as much as you could possibly, and then you stuffed in just a little bit more. And then you waddled out into the backyard to play a little bit of football. And later on in the day, everybody cuddled around the television and watched The Wizard of Oz as you cuddled up next to a parent and had a blanket on, that blanket that you'd pull up over your head whenever the flying monkeys showed up. Leftovers for dinner. Quick nap after that. Those were the days. But now you're older. Maybe you're hosting the dinner. Maybe you are grandma or doing your best imitation of what that should look like. And after dinner, well, first you stuff yourself with as much as you can eat, and then you stuff yourself a little bit more. You've watched some football. You fall asleep with the controller there on your belly until the kids take over the television. Or maybe for you this year, it's dinner for one at Denny's. You declined a few invitations to join somebody else's family celebration. You have family, of course, but they're scattered or angry at one another or preoccupied with their in-laws. You've fallen through the social cracks, as it were. You tell yourself it's okay, and you fall asleep with a spoon in one hand and a half-eaten half-gallon ice cream sitting there on your lap. Wherever you're at in that whole continuum, family, growth, society, there are a few things that we can always all be thankful for, and I want to point a couple of them out to you this morning. The first one I find early in the book, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for life. Thank you for this life. Thank you for this moment in time. Thank you for where we live, what we have, what we've been through, what we've survived, what we've earned, what we've been gifted. Thank you. And as Ray intimated in his prayer, we can't even give thanks without you. So join us for our service today and fill it with joy, that we can, with a truly thankful heart, give praise to you this morning, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a song, contemporary song, I would call it a hymn, So Will I. And I love every word of this, but the way it begins is, God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference. Those words get me every time. God didn't have an opportunity to look at other universes and say, well, I think this is the way I want mine to be. In his mind, light, touch, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. So will I. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. John chapter 1 tells us. So the first thing I'd like to thank God for today is life. The whole concept of life. He wanted to share his space with us. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? If you were going to create, would you create people? I get puppy dogs, you know, and giraffes and so people with all their baggage, with that bend that they have, we have toward disobedience. Don't do this. Oh, nothing ever tempted us more than when somebody said, don't you dare. Oh, I dare. I double dare you. I'm a creationist down to my bones. I believe that it all came about just as Genesis says that it did. I believe in 6 days he created everything and he had time left over. He took Sunday off, or Saturday off, excuse me. He took the Sabbath off. Now, not everybody believes that, I understand, but the prophets anchored their teaching with that truth. I don't just see it Genesis 1:1. I see it throughout the prophets. I hear David echo it through the Psalms time and again. When Paul went to Athens and he saw all these idols set up, and he saw one that said to the unknown God, he got his cue for his sermon that morning, and he walked in front of all these pagans, and he said, you know, the unknown God, that's the one I'm telling you about. I serve the Creator God, the one that created it all. He didn't talk about processes and such. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there's an interesting argument made for God using an evolutionary process. The word yom for day, there, a Hebrew word in Genesis chapter 1, just means a unit of time. We have to figure out what that unit was. Could have been a day, could have been a couple thousand years, a couple million years. Let there be. I just don't think God speaks that slow. Let there be. And there was. My God's much bigger than that. He speaks and it becomes. So I'm a creationist down to my bones. I sat in a pastor's meeting, our last pastor's breakfast. Ray would appreciate this. He didn't make it, but Randy was pontificating on, you know, how foolish it is to, you know, think of daily. And I was just listening. I just let him go on. There's no use arguing with Randy. But I'm a creationist down to my bones. God spoke and bang, there it was. It, creation, nature in all of its glory. Colors, animals, plants, seas, mountains, waterfalls, mysteries. Enough secrets to keep people occupied forever. Fire, medicines, sources of power, electricity, gold, silver, iron, copper, technology, all in the hopes that one day, yes, we would have cordless drills. What's your favorite animal? Bunny rabbits? Giraffes? Zebras? Monkeys? Flying ones notwithstanding. Fruit flies come with different color eyes, all according to their genealogy and their DNA patterns. There's beauty even in the darkest, deepest hole in the ocean, where light was never seen before. We take our drones and our subs down there, turn the lights on, and we see beautiful colors. Now, what kind of a God colors in the dark? What kind of a God? You know, I would think, well, that's okay. I don't have to worry about that. I'm the kind of guy who leaves clothes in the dryer till I need them. I'm not married to a woman like that, but I'm the kind of a guy. Not my God. He went down into the deepest hole of the ocean and said, oh, we need some color here. One of these days, one of my kids is going to be swimming down here, turn the lights on, and see my handiwork. And I just want it to be ready. Did you know that the veins on every leaf are different? Take whatever tree you want to, from the same tree, on the same branch, the two leaves can be connected together. Follow their vein pattern. The vein pattern on every leaf is, how many know there's been a lot of leaves? Amen. I don't know if you're raking this time of year or not, but we've had a lot of leaves in our yard. Everything is beautiful in its own way, like a starry summer night or a snow-covered winter's day, as the song goes. The Grand Canyon, Victoria and Niagara Falls, the Bahamas, the Painted Desert, Northern Lights, Skyline Drive, Mount Everest. God's creation is so beautiful, we go to look at it. We go to the Grand Canyon just to look at it. Oh, there's other attractions there. There's restaurants and so on and so forth. But it's so marvelous. Hearing about it isn't enough. Seeing pictures of it isn't enough. We will take vacation time, spend the money, put it on our bucket list. I just want to see it. I just want to go see for myself. Kiwi. Shrimp. I wonder who the first guy that thought, let's eat a shrimp. Green peppers, ribs, all the ingredients that go into barbecue sauce. I don't know who discovered barbecue. God bless them. Chocolate. I just lost some of you there. You're off. Chocolate. Coffee. A walk in the park. A hike in the mountains. Fishing off of a boat. Just sitting on your porch. Climbing a tree. Chasing a toddler. Catching a tadpole. Catching a lightning bug. I've told you this before. I make it my goal every summer to catch a lightning bug. At least one. If you don't make it a goal, now be honest. How many have caught a lightning bug this year? Okay, good. About a third to a half. Get busy, the rest of you, this next year. You know, 2 years ago, I thought there was a severe shortage of lightning bugs. I thought something had happened globally. I was really worried about it. I kept asking around. Have you seen it? And everybody else was seeing lightning bugs. Here I found out you have to stay up after dark to see a lightning bug. A butterfly. Proof of God. I don't get these people. Where's God? If there is a God. Oh, my heart, are you blind? Can't you see? And I'm so very thankful for the ability to see, to hear, to touch, to feel, to think, to talk, to love. God's given us these gifts so we could enjoy all this that he's done. Did you happen to see on the news, I think it was last night, they had a young fella, had never seen color before. He was completely colorblind. And the teacher had a pair of glasses that the teacher had also been colorblind. He put these glasses on this young fellow. He saw color for the first time. I guess he was a preteen or a young teenager. He began to cry. And he began to run around the room, and he looked from different angles. He was seeing color for the first time. We take it for granted. Shame on us. Shame on us. Oh, the beauty of his majesty. Now, he withheld from us the ability to fly, to breathe underwater, spit fire, or be invisible. But you know what he did? He gave us the ability to figure out how to do those things. We fly, we breathe underwater. Well, I've seen some people spit fire. And even our planes can be invisible at times. He allowed us to discover and adapt. Would you stand with me this morning? Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father. Seated. One of the things I loved about my mom, She loved colors. She was always painting the bathroom or the living room a different shade of this or that, and appreciating. Ray was talking about tacky sweaters and so on. I kind of like that about us old men. We become more tacky with time. We are attracted to tacky, brighter and bolder. You know, we will wear stripes with checks and so on. It's just more vivid with time. The rest of you are just catching up with us old men, but we're out there in front. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The first thing I want to thank God for is life. The second thing, that He came. Jesus came. Jesus came to be with us. After having created us, after having watched us, after the flood and everything else, He came to be with us. He left heaven to live among us and experience life as we do. He came to, as Hebrews tells us, learn obedience. Okay, what does it feel like to actually have to submit? I'm asking them to submit to me. I will come. I will be a submissive one right along with them. He came to save us. He came to set an example. Here's how you live. He came to reveal God to us, to give God a face, a touch. What would God be like? He said, well, here I am. Come close. Oh, no. Don't forbid the kids. For if such is the kingdom of heaven, let them come. Forbid them not. Jesus didn't come as a tyrant, a conqueror, a judge, or an emperor. He came as a baby born in a stable, raised by a carpenter and his wife. What do you do with babies? You don't say, hey, come on, baby, we're going. You pick them up. You hold them. You coochie-coo a little bit there. You feel how soft. Soft as a baby's behind. That's what we've got a saying for that. Can't say it if you have never touched a baby's behind. Very soft. He came, the Bible says, because He loved us so much. There was an element in Him that just couldn't stay away. He laid aside His divinity, emptied Himself to come. Paul says, He became poor so that we, through His poverty, might become rich. That God would even consider, even think about becoming human for a while. Woo-hoo! We serve a God like that. That's something worth being thankful for. And then there is the other end of His life, John chapter 19, verse 16. Finally, Pilate handed Him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying His own cross, He went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified Him, and with Him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Jesus came to sacrifice His life in the cruelest way possible in order to pay the debt of our sin. The wages of sin is death, and every last one of us has sinned. The death spoken of in that verse isn't just physical death, as fearsome as that is, as fearful as that may be. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Hell, fire, and brimstone. Pitch black there, the Bible says, where the worm never dies. It just keeps chewing away at your flesh. Jesus came and lived a sinless life, did not deserve death, but submitted to it for our sakes. Apart from Jesus, there is no other means of salvation. If He had not come, we would be eternally lost. You can't give enough money, do enough good deeds. Apart from Jesus, there is no other means of salvation. In my hand, no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Saved from the eternal fires of hell. In Ephesians, Paul says, He is our peace. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We no longer fear death. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Another verse of that song I began with, So Will I. God of salvation, you chase down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Woo-hoo! Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. So will I. What Jesus did on the cross is cause for great thanksgiving this morning. Would you stand with me? Let us thank Him for that gift. I'm having trouble keeping my composure during this sermon. Thank you. You may be seated. Oy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 53. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Jesus paid for our sins when he died. And then he punched a hole through death when he rose from the dead. Not only are we not going to hell because he died on the cross, we're going to enjoy the glories of heaven forever. The old hymn says, "The half cannot be fancied, this side the golden shore. Oh, there he'll be still sweeter than he ever was before." And in another, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. We will dance on streets that are golden." Ah, the great Son of Man, the bride. No more tears, grief, frustration, or pain. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. 5 years ago, Thanksgiving, my nephew, 31 years old, went to be with the Lord. 3 years ago, Thanksgiving, my brother graduated to glory. Last year, this time, my mom, right on Thanksgiving Day, went home to be with Jesus. Yesterday, a friend of mine that I graduated Bible college with, they diagnosed him with cancer beginning of November. This is November. Faithful pastor, husband, great guy. This is not the end, my friends. We will all gather together on the shore because of what Jesus Christ did for us. The devil and all his imps will be forever locked away, never to tempt or torture again. And best of all, we will come face to face with the one who redeemed us. Knowing that in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going home. Any day now, any moment, we are going to see the King. If nothing else, that thought, that truth, ought to fuel our thanksgiving, praise, and worship. I'd rather be ready for heaven than be King of the world. Would you stand with me? When the stars burn down.
When the stars burn down
Celebrations have changed. Maybe we still miss Grandma. Maybe we wish we could be back at the kiddie table again. But Lord, shame on us if we get caught up in the blues. The colors are much more vivid than that. We have so much to be thankful for. The holiday celebration may change, but the truth is as bold and vivid and tasty as ever. Thank you, God. Thank you for life. Thank you for that coming to be with us. It takes my breath away to think. You came not only to be with us, but to die for us. Oh, it gives me such joy to know you're coming back for us. And those loved ones of ours that are just on the other side are just on the other side. Oh, and soon we will dance on streets that are golden. With you, with them. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you so much for it all. And we do pray for any of our brothers or sisters who are in a dark hole. May your light shine on them, God, during this time. May we be the ones that bring a little light and show them some color they never saw before. May we help. May we be a blessing. Not pile on, but curl up to support, bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving.